God. If you prepare yourself properly, this is stated in the Brahma Sanghita. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Nayam achintya garna svarupam govindam ripurusham namadam bhajami. Then he continued, there is a television within your heart. It is not that you have to purchase the television set. It is there in your heart, and God is also there. You can see Him, you can hear Him, you can talk with Him, provided you repair the machine. And this repairing process is Krishna consciousness. So, it's very, very nicely said that we all have a possibility to directly communicate with God. We can directly receive Him, just as we can receive a television picture, maybe a different country or a roaring lion or some exciting drama. We can receive that in a television set and then see it in our home, although the action which we see may be thousands upon thousands of miles away. Of course, this requires an unbroken television set, a proper set. So, Srila Prabhupada says that in the same way, you can actually see God in your heart. You can speak with God in your heart. You can receive guidance from Him in your heart. Although He may be distant, He can become very close, provided your heart is repaired. Your heart is in working order. That means it can mirror the divine. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared 500 years ago, gave a similar example. He compared the heart with a mirror in which God's image can appear. But he said at the moment, the heart is covered with so much dust, and therefore this ability to mirror is always there, but it is not in function at the present moment. What is the dust which covers the mirror of our heart so that we can't see God inside? Or what is the defect of our spiritual televisions set, the heart? Well, it's desires. So many material desires which are actually making our spiritual ability to receive Krishna defect. It does not just work. So this evening, I would like to make a few points. I've taken notes and just see the 3 points actually, which can help us to repair our machine, our heart, in which we can see Krishna. First of all, you must see that that God cannot be seen with the eyes of flesh and blood and a little mucus. He can't even be seen if you put a good pair of spectacles on the eyes. He can be seen only if you have love in your eyes or love in your heart. And the ancient Puranas tell us a very nice story about this, which makes it very, very clear. They talk of a guru who had 20 disciples or so, and these disciples grew a little bit restless. They came to their spiritual master and said, "Oh Guruji, we are now following your process and instructions for 20 years. Please, it's time now to give us the final enlightenment. We want to see God." The guru, very nice spiritual teacher, said, you're not yet ready. Your heart is not prepared. There are many holes still in your heart. When you put mango juice into a glass with many holes, the mango juice will quickly go. I can see our dear guests at the back have a glass. Imagine the glass would be punctured and there would be holes in it. Then whatever beautiful beverage you have inside the glass would come out of it almost like a shower and sprinkle your neighbors. So if the heart is punctured with lust, greed and envy or insecurity, then whatever spiritual nectar, enlightenment you put in there, it goes and you take a shower. So our heart must be repaired. It must become free of the holes. But the disciples didn't want to hear this. They said, "Guru Maharaj, can you show us Krishna, yes or no? You keep telling our hearts are holy." Not holy, but holy. I do not know if this is yet an English word. If not, then I boldly declare it to be an English word from now on. Can you show us or not? If you don't show us God within 3 days, we will leave you. We will go somewhere else to get some instant enlightenment. So the Guruji was hard pressed and he said, Okay, before I give you the final enlightenment, you have to pass one more test, an easy one." So he ordered a person from the market. The person came back with a big, big basket full of fruits, and he distributed the fruits to each one of his disciples. And then he said, "My test is, you should eat your fruit without anybody seeing that you eat it. You have to eat it alone." "Oh, that's easy," said the disciples. And they walked into some lonely spots in the forest. And after 1.5 hours or so, they all returned and said, "The fruits are eaten, it's done." They gave even proof. Some brought an empty banana peel, another don't know how to say this in good American English, the skeleton of an apple, you know. They were very proud that now they should get their enlightenment. "So, when is it coming?" The guru said, "When my last disciple has come. One of you is still missing. We have to wait for him." They waited for one complete day. At the end of the day, the disciple who had been missing returned. And he returned with his apple fully intact. And he said, "Guruji, I could not pass your test. Please take back the apple." and he cried. He said, I couldn't find a place where I could eat the apple alone. I walked into the cave. I walked near the waterfall. But you have taught us that everywhere there's God. I couldn't find a place where there is no God. Take back your apple. When the other disciples heard this, they developed a shock and then cried tears. They hadn't even understood the first lesson, that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the Lord is present everywhere. He's all-pervading. So they became humbled and they applied themselves with rigor to the process and they became good disciples. Hare Krishna. What do you think about this story? It was good. Thank you very much. So this is something which I want to relate to you. If you look through the eyes of faith that God is everywhere in your life, even if you don't see Him just now, then you have made the first step on your path to see God. I would like to help you a little bit to really recognize how Krishna is everywhere. When my spiritual master was asked, can you show me God? He said, yes, very easy. Yes, how, where is he? And he answered, have you ever drunk water? The person said, of course. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna says he is the taste in water. Krishna says he is the ability in man. Krishna says he is the sound which travels through the space, through the ether. Krishna says he is the ability, he is sex, not, which is not against the religious principles of dharma. Krishna, in other words, is the essence of everything. I remembered this very much when I was with my spiritual master on a lecture tour in Sweden. Have some of you visited Sweden so far? Not yet. There is a town in Sweden, main town, Stockholm. And once we gave a festival there. Srila Prabhupada spoke and sang. And then after his presentation, as he was coming to the end, he looked actually at his audience. And you must know, Sweden is what is called in German language ein Wohlfahrtsstaat. A welfare state, where those who are downtrodden get tremendous benefits like free medical treatment. I don't know if you have this in America. It's sometimes even economically more wise to live on welfare than to work, because you get more money when you are living on welfare. But of course, these people were often very irresponsible, and therefore they were drunkards. We call them in Germany vinos, like winos. We call them winos. So Prabhupada looked at his audience. Some of them were asleep. Little, you know, the winos have a little exaggerated need to rest. They were sleeping, and Prabhupada then implored his audience and said, even if you are a drunkard, You can still realize God by meditating when you drink, that the taste in the wine, that is Krishna. Then he turned to his disciples and said, this is not for you. So, you can actually understand from this, I would say, compassionate enlightenment, which Prabhupada gave, how the principle of seeing God in your immediate surrounding is the first step in God consciousness. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, this is how you have to start your journey of love, your journey to see Krishna, your journey to see God, to try to understand how he is the essence of everything. Next time you see a talented piano player, you can understand the ability of this piano player is Krishna. And in this way, you see Krishna. Do you all know Bach? Maybe in American English we say Bach. Yes?
Bach.
Yes, Bach. Yeah, in German language his name is Bach. So, Mr. Bach was once giving a public concert on on new pieces of music he had composed. And at that time there was no electricity, so two people had to be left and right to him holding chandeliers with burning candles. And Mr. Bach came to a particular moving piece of his composition and played himself towards the climax. And then he was so moved that the ecstasy of the music just captured him, and he fell on one of his people who hold the chandeliers. Then they sprinkled some water on him, and he said, my dear audience, I give it another try. He played, and he again came to this very moving part. And again he fainted. Then everyone said, it's all right, Tika. You don't have to play this if it is too moving. It's good. We know. Just play until it comes, and then just take that out, which is so moving. This and just continue afterwards. But he said, no, I cannot do it, because this composition was given to me by God. How can I cut a divine gift? He said like this, because he knew the ability in man is not his own gift, it's a gift of God. When you see someone doing something nice, or even when you find out that you are doing something nice, you should know, Krishna's working through me at the moment. This is the ability in man. It's a nice, I think Akinchana Krishna is a music lover. It's a nice understanding which Johann Sebastian Bach had. So this is the first thing. Try to see Krishna in your immediate surroundings. And I would really recommend all of you, I know the Hare Krishna people and the friends usually don't read, but please make an exception to the rule and read in the Bhagavad Gita. In the seventh chapter, and also in the 10th chapter, where the opulences of the Lord are described. And you will be able to trace the Lord everywhere. Now, for instance, it's springtime, even in New York, although no one believes it. It's all very cold. It is very undecided, the weather. You can see even in New York some flower-bearing trees. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of all the seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring. Huh? Yes. In this way you can meditate about Krishna in many, many, many ways in your daily life. Please, that is the first step according to the ancient work Srimad Bhagavatam. We will now go a little further. We'll now become a little bit more advanced. The next step to see Krishna is really to see him in the arrangements of your life. A few days ago, I was present in a concert, and I told my audience, it was a few hundred people, to see Lord Krishna, or God, in the arrangements which happen in our lives. The good and the so-called bad are all actually opportunities for each one of us to learn important lessons which we would otherwise not be able to learn. Most of us, however, are always running with our heads against the wall. We commit the same mistakes stubbornly because we cannot see how Krishna wants to teach us something. I told my audience a story which I wanted to tell you also today. That once there was a man, by the way, this man is all of us, there was a man who was in a room which was closed. He could not get out of the room. For his whole life he stayed in the room. He tried every day to open the door, but it wouldn't open. Finally, when the fag end of his life came, he went again to the door knob. He prayed, "My dear Lord, why is everyone free except for miserable me?" He turned the doorknob, and the door was very easily opening, but to the inside. All his life he had tried to open that door by pushing it to the outside. Isn't that what all of us often do? We do not know that the way to fulfillment goes to the inside. We try to, especially in wealthy countries like America or Germany, huh? We try to look for fulfillment in the outside by getting all the things which money can buy us, by having fascinating sexual partners, by I don't know what one does. I'm not so much in tune, but you know, these outside things. It is important to understand the door opens to the inside. So Krishna, I believe, is showing this to us every minute of the day, how many of us have reacted to this wonderful teachings and learned our lessons. Nowadays I'm saying to the devotees, don't try to see the beautiful face of Krishna. Try to see his hands in your life. And you will soon be able to see that really everything moves towards your own upliftment and enlightenment. I believe many of you have heard the example from the scriptures about this king who had a minister who used to say to everything which happened, "This is God's mercy." One day, you have heard? A little bit, I believe. One day, the king cut himself in his finger, and he came to the minister to get some solace. There was blood coming, and he was in pain, and he said to the minister, "Here, I cut myself in the finger. I was trying to peel potatoes. It's so painful." The minister said, "That's God's mercy." "What? Do you have no compassion for your king? This is too much. I throw you into the prison." The minister smiled and said, "That's also Krishna's mercy." said the king, "I'm sorry." But he said it like this. Then he was so aggressive, and he wanted to vent his anger at some poor creatures, and he went into the forest to hunt, actually. After some time, he was hunted, yes, by some bandits, criminals who did human sacrifices. You can still find these people in Orissa, I believe, in the hidden hinterland, backland. They took him, they bathed him, dressed him in a white garment, and oiled his body with nice fragrant oil, and then brought him to the statue of Kali. They brought the leader, who had this, it's like a sword, it's called a scimitar, I believe, or
machete,
thank you. And the leader took the machete and was just about to behead the king when he saw blood was trickling out of the bandage. You know, when you are in fear, the circulation is increased. So by the increased circulation, the wound opened again and the blood was coming. And the bandit said immediately to the other bandits, "You fools! You uncivilized people! It says in the scriptures you can only bring an unharmed human being, no cut in the finger, huh? And you brought this person, he's unfit, and you fools." And he just kicked the king in the behind and said, get out, thinking that the wild animals in the forest would capture and kill the king, who was, you know, handcuffed. But the king somehow made it back, and he immediately got the minister out of the prison, and he told the minister everything. And then the minister said, "Do you now see how it was Krishna's mercy that you cut your finger? Because otherwise your head would have been cut off the shoulders." "Oh," said the king. "And do you see how it was Krishna's mercy that I was thrown into the prison? If you would not have put me into the prison, I would have forced to accompany you on your hunting expedition, and then they would have taken me instead of you." So we laugh about this as we sit comfortably on our sacred behinds, not so comfortable, because it's a nice story. But my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, everything which happens to you, even if your partner tells you, "You are unattractive and ugly, I leave you for a new adventure," That is, you have to learn to see the hands of God in this. Then you can come to enlightenment. Even when you lose your purse, which is stolen, as you sit in a theater play, everyone is like, oops. Even if you get ill, try to search for the arrangement of God in that. And then you will very quickly walk and proceed on your path of enlightenment. This is a constant meditation. It is actually said in the Gita that if you have learned from a proper spiritual teacher, then you will see that everything is in God. It is there. This vision you have to try to adopt. It's not always easy. It is maybe easy when you get a prize or pass the exam, or you have something pleasant happening to you. But try it in all circumstances of your life, and you will see how a veil of illusion lifts from your eyes, and you will actually see the hands of the Lord in everything. I want to give you one last technique, how to see the Lord, how to see Krishna, how to have Krishna darshan. We will show after the slides, right? Oh, here comes a garland. How kind of you. In New York, we have flowers. Amazing. such a big asphalt jungle. And thank you so much. Lovely. Thank you. There's one very, very nice technique which I would like to recommend to you. How to see God. The best is to see through eyes of love. Huh? The eyes of love of Godhead. Then when your heart is full of love, it's easy. Then you will see Him everywhere. But if that is not always possible, you can also take some other very reliable eyes. The eyes of Shastra, or the eyes of sacred reading. As you enter the divine scriptures and you read, you will all of a sudden be able to see something beyond the letters. See, nowadays people, at least in Germany, I don't know how it is in America. Sometimes in Germany we meet people, no, I don't want to read to see God. And I'm telling them, you don't know about sacred reading. That's why you say this. And then they become interested. What is sacred reading? Well, it just goes simply like this. You read in the scripture, and then you close your eyes for a moment, or no need to close the eyes. You stop for a moment and you do manaha. Manaha means reflection about the teachings, and then you will see that sacred scripture is a leak of the divine reality into this world. Leak, you understand? Leak? Leak, it leaks through. Like when it leaks through the ceiling, you can get the bathing water of our neighbor. So,
So, leak right here.
Yeah. So. You are drowning in the bathing water of your neighbor. So, sacred scriptures are a leak, or let us say, a channel through which Krishna becomes visible in this world. It is really amazing if you do this, and I would like to introduce you to one Brahmana in South India who experienced this. He was reading every day, and he had a divine revelation. In Shastras it said that if you have implicit faith in the Guru and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the secrets of the scriptures will become revealed to you. This Brahmana, of which I want to tell you, lived near Sri Rangam. Rangam is a beautiful temple complex, and he would go every day in this vault complex and read through all the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He would recite the 18th chapter, but because he couldn't read properly Sanskrit, he would gibble gobble the words, you know. Sarva lung lung, and people would laugh just like you are now laughing. They would ridicule him. They would impossible, this guy. But the Brahmana continued. The once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saw the Brahmana as he was reading, he saw there was something very ecstatic with this Brahmana. So he went to him and looked, and the Brahmana was having tears of ecstasy in his eyes. His hair, at least whatever was there in hair, was standing like this away. He had goose pimples and everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Brahmana, you can't read, but you read. And you seem to read with taste." The Brahmana said, "Yes, I cannot read. But I read. Because my spiritual master gave me the order to read every day in the Bhagavad Gita. Now when I read, I see before me a golden chariot, and on top of it, the Supreme Lord Krishna. And I see Arjuna is there. And I begin to cry because God is so merciful that he becomes the servant of his devotee. He has become the charioteer of Arjuna." The Brahmana saw this. This is sacred reading, my dear people. This is what is rewarding spiritual exercise. You have a direct perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And please carefully study this. It was not an intellectual exercise. It was not that he had understood something with his mind by the process of association. You know, he heard this and then he combined this. No! He had a revelation in the heart. The same thing we were talking about. Because he had followed the order of his spiritual master and engaged in sacred reading. This is what we mean by saying that the spiritual reality leaks into this world through divine scripture. It is present. You can see it there. So I want to come to an end because I want to ask if you have any questions, and then I want to kidnap you. We have ordered an airplane. It will come any moment before the 26th Second Avenue, and you will all be invited to embark for free and go with me to the sacred Ganga. I have brought slides of Ganga, Mayi, and Kanai Natashala, and I will show this to you, and we will all go together on sacred pilgrimage in a wonderful tour. You will not believe your eyes, first of all, and you might not believe your hearts, as all of a sudden you see something inside the hearts which you have previously not yet seen. But I would like to summarize what I have said today. Eyes to see God means ultimately eyes of love. These eyes develop by the simple exercise of first trying to see Krishna in your immediate surrounding, then trying to see him in the arrangements which happen in your life. You must know not even a piece of grass can move independently from the desire of the Lord. And thirdly, you can learn to see God through the eyes of Shastra. This is what I can tell you for today. I usually give a 1-week seminar about this subject, Eyes to See God. But I wanted to give you a summary and maybe a preview taste, because in the future we might offer such seminars here in New York, so that you can come and become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. Now, I want to tell you one last thing, which is very important for me. Please allow me to speak very straight to you, because, as you know, I search for the right English words. I'm not yet so expert as you in the English language. I want to say something very, very straightly forward to you. My dear audience, please try this. Please, when you hear spiritual teachings, don't do it that you just hear it and then you let it pass, like you let so much air pass through in your life. You must apply whatever seems right to you immediately in your life. Otherwise, you lose it. When we hear these divine spiritual teachings from this ancient Vedic tradition, and we develop a habit to not apply it, but just so, yes, I come on to the Second Avenue lectures, it is a good atmosphere, and I hope they serve something to eat at the end.
Not today.
you will actually not be able to profit fully. Spiritual teachings can only come alive in our lives when we actually apply them. First we hear them, then we reflect on it. Don't just accept blindly. Reflect, and then what you feel is, this was a good point. Immediately apply it, and then you will see something. You will... Please understand, spiritual life is not a matter of just milling with your mind over some subjects. It's a question of realization. My spiritual master often compared this with appreciating honey, or tasting honey. You can't taste the honey just by looking at a honey glass. What is your name? Brinda is a small child, and I think you have opened many honey glasses in your life. And if you want to taste the honey, you can't just look at it. You have to open the... unscrew the lid. Then take your hand, or maybe if you're more cultured... a spoon, and then you must put it to your taste buds, not to your eyes. So spiritual knowledge is something which is cannot be understood with the mind. It has to be understood with the heart. The heart which is trained by the exercise of application. The heart which is trained by the exercise of application is a good heart, a strong heart, in which spiritual realization can happen. I do this every day. See, in my life I ran away from school when I was 15 because it was just killing me. It was too boring. Prabhupada heard about this and he wrote a letter. Young boys have to go to school. They have to learn. Rina, you also have to learn in school. How can it happen when you don't know reading, writing, algebra, and so on? You can't. You have no exercised brain. I received that letter and I thought, I'm not yet his disciple. I'm not obliged to follow him. So I ran away from school. Then Prabhupada gave in. He said, okay. But never ever stop learning. And I have applied this in my life as good as I can. I'm not very perfect in this. But I do know, my dear listeners or dear audience, that once you really apply something which made sense to you in your life, you will own it and your life will change every day a little bit more until the veil of illusion is lifted and you feel God's presence everywhere. There's not even the question, where I is to see God? He's everywhere. Where is he not? You will be like that saint. The saint was walking and felt tired and then slept. And then a Muslim came, looked at him, and he saw that the saint's feet were pointing towards the mosque. He was highly enraged and woke the saint. Hey, your feet are offensively pointing towards the mosque. Oh, said the saint, I'm so sorry, very sorry, and also very tired. You please take my legs and my feet and point them in a direction where there is no God. So the Muslim just took left, right, east, west, north. But he understood the lesson. Yes, there is no direction, there is no Krishna. Okay, so we have come to the end of our presentation. Thank you very, very much. What should we do now, Yajnavalkya? Yajna Purusha, yes.